The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Ketubot has been dedicated by our dear friend Mr. Elliot Shasho. Hashem Yishmineu V'Hayehu. May the zikut of the limud of Masechet Ketubot stand for him that he should have Be'azat Hashem, Hashanah Tovah Mborechet, Osher Ve'osher Ve'chavod, Shalom Bayit V'Hatzlacha Bechol Ma'aseh Yadav. And Be'azat Hashem, may he continue to be a supporter of Torah and all holy projects. Amen. Daf Ayin Zayin. Today's daf is being studied in the Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenihen Began Aydin Amen. Today's daf is being studied in Fuash Shilama Yosef ben Sarah. Ve'Sarah bat Rachel. Inna refan lahim betuch shar holi amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Ayin Vav Amud Bet. Two lines from the bottom, starting with the words V'Hachamim Omrim. We learned in our Mishnah that if a lady has mumin, blemishes, so that's a reason for the husband to come along and say that mekah ta'ut, and he could want out. So the Mishnah said that this is only talking about over where he can claim a mekah ta'ut b'mumin shebaseter on blemishes that are hidden. But if they were obvious, if they were Mumincha Begalui, so he saw them. So therefore we could assume that what? He was Muhail, and he married her anyway. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, V'nichfe, epilepsy, Kimumin Shebaseter Dameh. Epilepsy is considered a Mum Shebaseter, which means it's hidden. The Gemara qualifies, V'ani mile dekebi aile zeman. That's only talking about when the epilepsy comes from time to time, and therefore the lady has warning, and therefore she can cover it up from the husband, and therefore it's considered mumim shebaseter, which means she knows she's having an epileptic attack, so she can hide it. However, lo kaviyale, but if there's no set time for the epilepsy, which is, she can come any time, so it's kimumim shebegalui deme, because obviously the husband will see it, he'll find out that she can't cover it up, because it just comes sporadically, so therefore it's considered mumim shebegalui, and therefore if the husband married her anyway, so then it must be his muhel, he doesn't care, look at that top rashi, nechfe choli shemenu nofel la'aris. Right, that's the sickness that causes people to fall to the ground. V'yesh lo zman lavo. K'urit shebaseter, the fish is headed b'yom zmanam b'latzet ben aberiyot. On the day that she knows she's going to have an epileptic attack, she doesn't go out. So therefore, it's mumin shebaseter. Comes the next Mishnah. Ha'ish shenolad bo mumin. Okay, now we're going to reverse. Let's say the husband has mumin. En kofin oto leotzi. So in this case over here, we do not force him to divorce. We learned early in the Gemara, a sevara, that a lady is a little more tolerant of the mumin of the husband than the husband the mumin of the wife. Based on the sitar, it said, Dav le metav tandum, min metav armelu. So the lady is just happy to be married. She enjoys the companionship. So therefore the Mishnah says that if he has mumin, so therefore we do not force him to divorce. Amar Rabban Shimon Gamaliel Bamed Varim Mumin Bimumina Ketanim. That's all talking about minor mumin. Avab Mumina Gedolim, but if they consider major mumin, which we'll see, the Gemara will explain one of those. Kofin Oto, they will see, then of course you force him to divorce. Comes the Gemara now, says Rav Yehuda Tani Noldu Haya Bar Rav Tani Hayu. Which means when the Mishnah says Ha'ish Shenoldu Bo, so we have two girsaot over here. One girsa of Rav Yehuda is Noldu. Noldu means that they came when he got married, there was no mumin. The mumin developed Noldu. They developed after the marriage. And the second chita says Haya Bar Rav Tani Hayu. No, Hayu means they're already from the beginning, before the marriage. And now the Gemara explains. According to the opinion that says, that Nuldu, which means that when they got married, nothing was there, and it just developed after the marriage, and still we're saying that even though it's a new item that she wasn't expecting, still we do not force him to give a divorce. Kol Shekein Hayu. Or the more so, if she went into the marriage and the guy had the mumin already, so certainly she saw them. Which is, she saw them and she accepted them. So if you say Nuldu, there's no divorce. Call chicken on Hayu. But according to the opinion, it says no. That Davka, there's no divorce. You don't force a divorce when they were there from the beginning. Aval Nuldu, no. But if it was Madu that developed a new mum after the marriage, then that shita is going to say that we do force the husband to give a divorce. That's the machloket among the hakamim. So Gemara says, Tenan Amar Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Rabban Shimon Gamliel taught now Mishnah. When is this all said over here that we say that the husband, we don't force him to give a divorce? That's only talking about where he has minor mumin. But if he has major mumin, we force him to give a divorce. Now the Gemara analyzes, which means, if you're going to say that the Mishnah is talking about the case of Nuldu where he developed the mumin, so now I understand. Now I understand what the difference is, which is he developed mumin, so the lady's not going to tolerate any type of mum. If the mumin ketanim, okay, she's willing to tolerate it, even though it was just newly developed. But if the mumin gedolim, okay, she's not willing to tolerate such a thing. But according to the opinion that says, no, even hayu, which means even if, let's say, he came into the marriage with mumin, mali gedolim, mali ketanim, hasavra vekibla, which is bottom line, she saw what he had, and she accepted it. So therefore, what should be the difference between mumin gedolim and mumin ketanim? If it's going into the marriage that she had, that he had these mumin, she saw it and accepted it. Kibla says, no. Kasabrua hi sheyichola lekabel. She thought she'd be able to tolerate them. But then she realizes it's too much. Which means, if it's a mum gadol, so when she married him, she saw the mum. She's okay, it's tolerable. But later on, she come along and say, listen, I cannot handle this mum over, it's too difficult. And therefore, Rashbag means, even in a case where he had them before, she could still demand a divorce if she cannot tolerate them after. Even though she accepted them earlier. And these following items are considered mumim gedolim, major mumin. Pirish Rabban Shimon Gamliel kegon nismit eino. If, let's say, God forbid, one of his eyes became blinded, nichtea yado, or one of his arms became cut off, nishpera raglo, or one of his legs became severed. Itmar bi Abba bar Yaakov Amar Yohanan halacha kerabban Shimon ben Gamliel. That what? That says that we make a difference between mumim gedolim and mumim ketanim. Which means that the only time we say that the commanded demand a divorce was on mumim gedolim. But on mumim ketanim, no. Where it's tanakama, did not make a haluk. Between mumim gedolim and mumim ketanim, in all cases, you don't force the husband to give a divorce. Rava Amar Rav Nachman halakha kedivre hachamim. Say no, halakha falls hachamim, which means the husband has the right to stay married, even if he has mumim gedolim. Umi Amar Rabbi Yohanan Acher. Hold it, Gemara says, did Rabbi Yohanan actually say that the halakha follows Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel? Ve'ha Amar Rabba Bar Bar Hanan Amar Rabbi Yohanan. We have another statement of Rabbi Yohanan that says, Bechol Makom Sheshana Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel B'mishnatenu. Anytime you have the shita of Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel in our Mishnah, halakha kemoto, the halakha follows him. Chutz Me'arev. Ma'arev is a case of a guarantor and a loan, which is a separate machloket in a different place. This Sidan is a Sidon, is a different machloket over there, right? Which was in the Masechet Gittin. The Ra'aya Aharona, which is also, again, a machloket in a Sanhedrin, in the law of testimony. It's not important to know these three cases, but the point is that Yohanan said that in these three cases, that even though normally any time Rashbag is in the Mishnah, the halakha is like him, except in these three cases. So what's the problem? Which means that Yohanan, why would he have to go out of his way to say halakha kereban shimon gamliel? We know already you said the halakha is like Rashbag in every place except these three. So why would the Yohanan go out of his way in this case of him, the mumim gedolim mumim ketanim, to say, oh, you should halakha is like Rashbag? Must be the Yohanan never said it, because he can rely on his original statement that he had. So the Gemara says, Amura'aninu balibad Rabbi Yohanan. It's actually machlokta amura'im, what Rabbi Yohanan said, which means if you have the shita that says that he holds like Rashbag in all cases except for the three, okay, then you don't need the other statement that says halakha like Rashbag in our Mishnah. But if you have the statement that says Rashbag is in our Mishnah, halakha, you don't have the other statement of halakha is always like Rashbag except for the three. So then it was machlokta amura'im, exactly what statement Rabbi Yohanan indeed said. But either one holds that halakha is like Rabban Shimon Gamliel, that does make a haluk between mumim gedolim and mumim ketanim. Comes the Mishnah, ve'elu shekufin oto leotzi. Now there's certain mumim that everybody agrees that you force the husband to divorce. What are they? Muka chain, which is, let's say he has boils all over his body. Uba'a al-fudifus. The Gemara will explain what is a ba'a al-fudifus. Ve'am mekametz. Mekametz, the Gemara will explain this also. Ve'am mitzaref, wait for the Gemara as well. Nechoshet. Ve'am bursi. And somebody has a tanner of leathers. The common denominator between all these people, they smell. And therefore, the wife can demand a divorce, and the husband must divorce in this case. Ben shayu ad shelo nisu, whether this was their trade before they got married, she knew what she was getting into, uben mishinisu nuldu, but whether it developed after the marriage, because he got these jobs after the marriage, v'al kulan amar Rabbi Meir, and all these Rabbi Meir said, afa bishit na'ima, even though, let's say, he made a condition, which is, listen, you know, we're getting married. I'm not that I have this job over here that it's a smelly job. She's able to say at a later time, I thought I'd be able to handle it. I see that I can. She's, even a condition doesn't matter. She's able to say later on that it's too much. You can break it. Exactly. So comes again, Mishnah and says, no, if already a condition was made, then she's stuck. She's forced to stay in. Chutz memukatshin. Except in a case where the husband is a mukatshin, in that case it's the reverse. To his benefit, we force the lady to accept the divorce. Why? Because she's going to cause him that his skin is going to shed as a result of tashmish. And if, in the case where, let's say, there's a guy's a mukatshin, and she's good, she says, oh, I'll stay married. We say, no. In this case over here, we force the lady to receive a divorce, even if she doesn't want to. Why? Because it's detrimental for them to be married. Because every time they have tashmish, it causes his skin to shed, as was said. And she says, Lashon hamik besaro. His skin sheds because of the tashmish, so it's to his benefit. Maaseh b'Sidon, there was a story in Sidon, b'bursi ahat, in a certain bursi, a certain tanner of leathers, shemit, okay, died. V'haya lo ah bursi, and his brother was also a bursi, and now he felt the yibum. Amru hachamim, yecholai shetomar, la'achicha iti yechola lekabel, ulcha eni yechola lekabel. Hey, listen, I married your brother, but that doesn't automatically mean I'm going to make yibum with you, and therefore she's able to say she wants to say halitza, even though yibum is more proper. But that's a good case where she has a right to right away off the bat ask for a halitza, because like I tolerated your brother was a bursi, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to tolerate the other brother for the yavam. Comes to Gemara and says, my baal fulifus. What is this baal fulifus that the Mishnah said that you force the husband to give his wife a get? So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Reya Hachotim. She's a certain smell that comes out of his nose, and therefore she smells basically, and therefore she can demand a divorce. But Manitata and the Braita, it says Reya Hapeh, and he has bad breath. Therefore she cannot tolerate his bad breath. So again, according to this version of it, it was Shmuel that said Reya Hachotim. Now the Gemara says Rav Aseh Matni Ipcha. Rav Aseh has the opposite, that Shmuel was the one that said bad breath, and the Braita was the one that said a smell from the nose. Umanach ba simana. And how are you going to remember this reversal that Shmuel said over here? So the Gemara says, Shmuel lo pasik pume mechule perkin. Remez, Shmuel, his mouth did not stop from this whole perik. There's two ways of learning it. He was an expert in this perik, and he always would, his mouth was always quoting this perik, which is lo pasak pume mechule perkin, or on almost every Mishnah in this perik, Shmuel had a statement. Shmuel was very talkative in this perek. And that's the way to remember that Shmuel reversed to bad breath. Because Pumeh, his mouth did not stop talking in this perek. And therefore, it's a way to remember that he was a shtet that said, Reyach hapeh. According to Rashi, Tamid ayesh agud befiv. He's learning the first way we studied that what? This perek was always fluent in Shmuel's mouth. So therefore, peh. And therefore, he's the shtet that said, Reyach hapeh. Comes Gemara and says, Vamekametz. Okay, what is a mekametz? My mekametz, Amar Yehuda, zeh mekametz soat kelavim. So the guy, he collects the soat, the excrement of the dogs. I got a smelly job again. And therefore, his wife has a right to get a divorce. You're forced to give a divorce. Mekamitz. So the divorce says, Meti, we have a contradiction from a brayta. Mekamitz zebursi. Opposite, it's Mekamitz zebursi. That's a guy that does the tanning of the leather. Yeah. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Venetamech, according to this brayta, tikshi lach matnitin. You have a question from our Mishnah. Ha Mekamitz va mitzaref nechoshet va bursi. The Mishnah says two different things. Mishnah says there's a mitzaref, there's a bursi. It's not two different things. Bishta ma'amat nitin, the Gemara says, Amishnah can be answered. Lakashia. Kam be bursi gadol, kam be bursi katan. Which means, you could have a bursi gadol, bursi katan, which you have a small tannery house, you have a big tannery house. So therefore I can say, Mekametz says the small one, the bursi is the big one. So therefore it's all different levels or degrees of bursi. El Rav Yehuda kasha. But according to Rav Yehuda, it's a kasha. Because Rav Yehuda clearly says that Mekametz is a is it Tzu'at Kelavim, which means Mekametz is separate. So how is he going to understand the Braita? Which is what the Braita says over here, that Mekametz is a Bursi, that cannot be working according to the Biudah. Because according to him, Mekametz is one thing and Bursi is another thing. So the Gemara says, Tana'ehi. It's actually Mahluka Tana'im, what a Mekametz is. Betanya, Mekametz ze Bursi. Oh, that will work with the Braita. Which is good according to the Biyuda, which is that we found a Tana that learns Mekametz to mean a collector of Tzu'at Kelavim. That's what we'll say that the Biyuda is subscribing to the opinion of that Shita. And we have somebody that is a Mitzaref Nechoshet. That's something to do with copper. We'll see exactly what he does. Vabursi and also a Bursi. He goes, my Mitzaref Nechoshet. What is a Mitzaref Nechoshet? Ravashe Amar Hashle Dude. So that she says, they're making copper pots. They bang the copper in a certain way to make pots out of it. And as she says, umasliyahu. The metal, I guess, smells, and the process smells. So that's what the Mitzaref Nechoshet is, making copper pots. Rababar Rav Hanam Amar Ze Hamehatech Nechoshet Meikaro. That's actually a miner, which means he goes into the caves or whatever it is, the places over there on the ground, and he mines nechoshet. Kind of, it's a smelly area over there, and therefore that's why the wife can demand a divorce. Tanya kibatid rabba bar barhana ezu mitzaref. What is considered mitzaref? Zeh mehatech nechoshet veikaro, which means he's mining it from its origin. Amarav. Rav says a halakha. Ha'omer, a guy, husband comes along and says, "Eni zam ve'eni mefanes." Listen, I'm not giving my wife any mizonot. I'm not giving her any panasa. She's getting nothing. So the Gemara says, "Yotzi v'yiten ketubah." So therefore, you have to force him. You have to impress upon him that he has to divorce his wife and he has to pay the ketubah. So comes the Gemara and says, "Azal Rabir Azal." So Rabir Azal heard this halakha. Amra l'shmate kamed Shmuel. So he said the halakha of Rav, this halakha we just said, in front of Shmuel. Amar, so when Shmuel heard this halakha, he said, Aksua sa'are le'el hazar, which means, go feed sa'are, bali, which is animal food, te'el hazar, which means, give him animal food to eat. Why? Ad shekofin oto le'osi yichfu lazud. Which means, what kind of logic is this halakha? What are you quoting this halakha for? Instead of forcing him to get divorced, force him to feed his wife. What do you want to make a divorce for? Either way, you have to force him to do something. So instead of forcing him to divorce his wife, force him to give his wife a panasa. So the Gemara says, what's Rav's logic? That's right, a person, you cannot demand a lady living with a snake in the same basket. Which means, you see what the guy's capable of. Now you're going to force him to give mizonot. The next day he's going to come along and take it away again. So therefore, once you see the guy's dead, he has to take away mizonot, you're not going to force him to give mizonot. You can just get rid of him. Because you cannot live with a snake in the same basket. Like we said at 7 hours earlier, Kisalik the Bizera, when the Bizera went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, Kisalik, he went up. Ashkehar Rabbi Benjamin Bar Yefet. So he saw Rabbi Benjamin Bar Yefet, the Yativ Ka'amar La Meshemed Rabbi Yohanan, that was quoting this halakha of Rav, right? The name of Rabbi Yohanan, that what? That if the guy doesn't want to give mizonot, you force him to give a divorce. Amar Le. So when Rabbi Benjamin Bar Yefet heard this halakha, he said, Alda, on this halakha that you're quoting, Aksua Sa'ari Le'el Azar Be'Bavel. They already fed the Rabbi Azar Bali in Bavel, because of this halakha, which means, it's a wrong halakha. Yeah, they chastised him when he said that halakha over there because it doesn't make sense. Instead of forcing him to divorce, force him to give the mizonot. So when he heard this halakha, he said, this is the halakha that they fed the Rabbi Azar Bali in Bavel. I'm going to go down my Rav. I say, in me'asin ela lipsulot, which is we don't force a husband to give a get to his wife unless the marriage is a marriage to somebody that is pesula, somebody that is pesulatim. Also, what's the cases? Ki amirte kamed Shmuel, when they said it's on the kafar Shmuel, amar kegon almanal kohen gadol. Okay, almanal kohen gadol is illegal. So therefore, the halakha says you force the husband to give his wife a get. But the kiddushin is hal, because this over is hibel avin. So we know that according to Shitot, that if it's only a hisul lav, the kiddushin is tofes, therefore the halakha says you got to give a get. Girusha b'halutza l'kohen ejot, or a divorcee, or a lady that got a halutza to a kohen ejot, mamzerev v'nitinah l'Yisrael, or a mamzerev that married Yisrael, which is also considered isud lav, bat Yisrael l'natinu mamzer, or the opposite. A bat Yisrael that married a mamzer. Aval, nasa isha v'shaha imar esh shanim v'ilo yalda. Now let's say a guy was married for 10 years to a lady, then she wasn't able to give birth, and kofin oto. You don't force this guy to give a divorce. Now, even though it's a mitzvah to have children, but still, you don't force him to give a divorce. Comes the Gemara and says, "V'raftech tachlifa bar avimi amar Shmuel afilu nasa isha v'shaima esr shnim lo yalda." Even if she was married, late for 10 years, she can have children from that husband. Kofin oto, you force him to get divorced. What's the logic of this rabbi of tachlifa bar avimi? Because if as long as this guy stays married to this wife, he's not going to want to marry somebody else, and therefore he's going to be deterred from making the mitzvah of pirurvu. So there was a way to force you to get rid of this wife. Now you'll have an incentive to get married to a different wife to fulfill the mitzvah. So we have a machloket on a case of a lady that cannot give birth for 10 years. Are you obligated to divorce her or not? So comes the Gemara and says, Tenan. Gemara is going to bring a proof or question from our Mishnah. Elu shekofin oto leotzi. The Mishnah listed the different cases where a husband is mandated to divorce his wife. And what were some of the cases the Mishnah brought? Mukachrin, Baal Fodifus. So the Gemara did not bring, the Mishnah did not bring any of these cases of the marriages that were done Beisud. Hagman only brought the guy with bad breath, the guy with the mukachin, wanted to bring the cases of the Isud marriages. So Bishtam al Rabbaseh, the Rabbanan Ketani, the Uraita lo Ketani. Good. Our Mishnah only listed things that the rabbis instituted, but it did not discuss things that are forbidden from the Torah, which is those illegal marriages over there. Those issues from the Torah. Our Mishnah is only discussing the rabbinical items, including the case of where the lady cannot have children for more than 10 years. Our Mishnah did not list it. Why? Because the rabbis are not instituted in that. And they only listed the rabbinical things that they were all said, and they did not write the items that are asur from the Torah. However, that even a rabbinical item is asur. For example, a guy married for 10 years, you tell me, and cannot, the rabbis will say it, litni nasa isha v'shaima esheshlim lo yadda kofino to, why you put that in the Mishnah? So according to the first shita, I understand, you only put rabbinical items in the Mishnah that you force them to be, to get divorced. Alright, and rabbinical items that you don't force them, but you didn't put in the Mishnah. For example, you didn't put any of the deoraitas, and you're not going to put the case of the 10 years, because in the 10 years the rabbis never made such a gezeirah. But according to you, Rav Tachlifa, that say that in the 10 years without getting children, you do force them to get divorced. And that's the Rabbanan. Should have been listed in our Mishnah with all the other rabbinical items that you forced them to get a divorce. So Gemara says, Amar Nachman, Nakashya, Ha Bimile, Ha Beshute, which means you're right. There's a difference, but the ones in our Mishnah, when we say that you're forced to get divorced, you even beat him up, which means bishute. You force him with the stick. However, the case of the guy not married for 10 years without children, you force him to get divorced verbally, which means you don't force the guy physically. So therefore, the Mishnah is only listing the cases where you use the shute, where you have to beat the guy to give him the divorce, but we don't beat the guy when it comes to the 10-year situation. So the Gemara says, Matkifla, Abba, Rabbi Abba is a question. On the Pasuk in, I guess it is Mishle, the Pasuk is, Bedvarim lo yivaser avid. Which means a Eved does not get rebuked by words. Which means you can't make your point just verbally. Which means it's not going to help try to force a guy verbally. You got to beat him. So therefore, to give a Chiduk and say, oh, the only try to talk him into it. It doesn't work that way. So the Gemara says, Ela Amar bi Abba Have Ha Bishute. Both cases, you have to use physical force. Also, why didn't they say it in the Mishnah? Because Hatam ki amra, which means by our Mishnah, ki amra vina bahade, which he comes along and says, listen, I want to stay shevki nana, which means the guy has bad breath, for example. She doesn't, I don't care. I accept it. Okay. You want to accept it, we let them stay. However, in the case of the 10 years, where let's say she cannot have children, she says, listen, I want to stay. We don't let her stay. Why? Because if she's going to stay, it's going to deter her from getting remarried. And therefore, it's going to be limited from the mitzvah of piru and vut. So that's why the Mishnah doesn't list it. Because the Mishnah is only listing the cases where she has an option to say, I'm good. Oh, you're good? We don't, no problem. But in the case of the marriage with 10 years without children, if she comes along and says, listen, I want to stay, doesn't matter. You tell the husband, divorce her. Why? Because again, like I said, it's going to deter him from getting married to somebody else, and therefore not going to have children. So what are you talking about? So our Mishnah is only listing cases where if the lady wants to stay, she can. That's not so, because we learned at the end of the Mishnah, we learned at the end of the Mishnah that the case of the guy with the boils all over his body, she says, let's say, I want to stay with this guy, now we don't let her, why? We have Mishnah, because she's going to cause him through the Tashmish to have his flesh to become, to peel off. Oh, and we learned over there as well. We learned further. Ki amra, even when she comes along and says, "Dayarna bahade besade," which viketani hatam, and we learned regarding this case over there. Ki amra dayarna bahade besade, which means in the other cases of the Mishnah, well, let's say she comes along and says, "Dayarna bahade." Listen, I want to stay living with this guy besade. Which means with witnesses, shavkinana, which means we let her. Which means like this, when it comes to the case of the mukachin, let's say she comes along and says, listen, what's the problem? You want me to get divorced because you don't have to speech with this guy. Because the guy, I'm going to cause him to get peeling his skin off. Fine. I'm willing to live with him, and you can put witnesses by us to make sure that I don't have tashmish. I'll live with him with witnesses. In the case of the Mukachim, we say, you know what? It's fine. If you're willing to do that, good. However, hacha, by the case of a girl, that lady that cannot have children for 10 years, afalgav damrai, even though she tells the rabbi, dayarna ba'de besade, listen, let me live with him with witnesses, which means I understand that we cannot have tashmish because really I'm not able to bear children. So I'll just let me stay his wife with the witnesses. Lo shavkinana, we don't let. So there's a difference. Why don't you let? Again, because as long as she's married to him, he's not going to take another wife. And therefore, that's the chaluk in the Mishnah, which is in the case of the mukachayin, she can come along and say, listen, I want to stay married, but witnesses to keep me away from the tashmish. Okay, we accept it. But Sheikin, if he doesn't have children for 10 years, and she comes along and says, I want to stay married, the witnesses, then we say, no, why? Because like I explained to you, because she's not going to want to, he is not going to want to take another wife, and therefore it's going to deter from the mitzvah of Periyah V'Ribyah. He could take another wife, but he's not going to take another wife on his first wife. He's married. He's happily married. There was no Shalom Bayit issues over here. So therefore, as long as they're married, it just can deter him from going with another lady. So therefore, they say, you know what? We want to force him to fulfill the mitzvah every day. Get rid of the first one to have kids from somebody else. Tanya, we have a bright. Amar b'yoseh. Sahli zaken echad. An old man told me, man she'irushalayim. Esrim v'arba'a muket shchinin. There's 24 different type of mukachins, 24 different type of people that have different type of boils on their body. V'chulan amru hakamim tashmish kashelahim. And all of them, the rabbi said that tashmish is no good. Tashmish causes their skin to peel, to fall off. U'ba'ale ra'atan kashem mikulan. But the type of the disease that's called ra'atan, that's worse than all of them. That's talking about a certain parasite, barminan, that lodges its way in the person's moach in his head, and that causes a tremendous tzad. So the Gemara says, where does this come from? So the Gemara says, Detanya, we have a bright day. Keys dam. Let's say a person went and he didn't bloodletting, like was very customarily done in the olden days. He bloodlet. Vishimesh. And then he had tashmish with his wife right after he bloodlet. Havyan lo banin zitikin. He's going to have children that, as she says, are halashim. The children is going to be weak. If, let's say, both the husband and the wife had hakazat dam, and then the tashmish, havyan, lord, banin, ba'aler, atan, then the children will have this parasite in their brain. Amar papa lo amran erad lo ta'imidi. It's only talking about where they had to shmish right after bloodletting without eating anything in between. Aval ta'imidi, if they tasted something in between, let lamba, there is no problem. My simmane, what are the signs of somebody that has this ra'atan, this parasite in his head? What are the symptoms? So the Gemara says, dalfan ayne, his eyes are tearing. His nose is running, and his mouth is drooling saliva, and the bugs, which means the bees, are flying around him next to him. So that's already a sign that he has zivuvin, as she says, the flies, kiruchin, aharava, following him. Umay asfate. So what's the cure? How do you cure somebody from this ra'atan? Amar Abaye, pila. So that she says it's a type of herb.
Pennyroyal.
Okay, calling it pennyroyal. Viludna. No.
Wormwood. Like a mint.
Wormwood.
Okay.
Wormwood. It's a pennyroyal.
Okay. Okay. Pila is more like na'na. It's like a mint. I can ludna.
It's wormwood.
Wormwood. Girda de egoza. That's the peel of a egoz. That's a walnut. The peel of the walnut tree. The girda de ashpa. That's
of a hide, it says.
Some say ashkafta. Yeah. That's the from the hide, what they peel off from the animal. Kanare, that's part of that. Vechalil malka. That she says that's called habaselit. Okay, lily. Umatchila dekla simka. So that she says that is the red dates. So you're taking like the peel that's around the red dates. Now what do you do with all these ingredients? V'shalik lehu ba'adeh. So you cook them all together. U'me'ayil lebeta deshisha. And you bring the guy into a house that's made out of marble, as she says, which means it's a solid house where no wind is able to penetrate into the house. Bring him into a house that's fortified where no wind can come in. V'ilo ika beta deshisha. If you can't find a marble house, so you take him to a house that is built with 7 bricks deep and 1 ariha and half a brick. So there was 7.5 bricks deep. And as she tells us over here, shekotlo av shiv'a lebanim ze etzel ze, which means it's thick. 7 bricks, you know, back to back to each other. Ve'ariyah shu hatzi lebana. Lebena, and a half a brick. So 7 bricks. Lebena, 3 tefachim. So therefore, basically, it's 21 tefachim plus another 1.5, so 22.5 tefachim. 7.5 bricks, each brick bringing 3 tefachim, and then Ariyah is bringing is a half a brick, so therefore it's 22.5 tefachim thick in its wall. I mean, the point is, so the wind is not good for this, guys. If you want to bring it in a fortified house. Venatile. And you pour this 300 cups of this mixture on top of his head until the top of his head becomes soft. And then after it softens the top of his head, you cut open his brain and you bring 4 myrtle branches, hadasim, tarfe, like branches of the hadas, umadle kol had kare, and you lift up this parasite, you lift up the legs of the parasite, umotiv had vishakil bitsavta, which means you lift up the legs and you put the hadas underneath, so now it grabs onto the hadas. And then you take a stick and you draw the parasite out of the patient's head. Now she says, "Vinatile v'shofech lo meotan mayim." This mixture you pour on his head. Ad rafia ar itad mocha gulgalto. His skull mitrachir becomes softened as a result. V'nochali kara b'sakin. So it's easy to cut it with a knife. And then tarfe alin. Four hadas things. Umadik or hadkar and megbia naglosh and sheretz. You lift the leg of the sheretz. Umoshiv alet tahat naglo, and you put it underneath its leg. Sheim lo yasek and sheyazik begufol detlo yenot sipunah bemocho. Because we're worried that when you're going to take him, what's going to happen? He's going to hold on to the, he's going to cling onto the brain, and he's going to puncture a hole into the membrane of the brain. So therefore, you just lift his leg up gently, and you stick the hadas underneath. So therefore, if anything, he'll cling onto the hadas, and therefore you just you pull him out. The kalile, and then it's not finished. You have to burn it. Why? The ilo, because you're not going to burn it. Hadar and lave, it's going to come right back to him. Goes back to specifically him. And as she says, the ilo imlo yislefenu yachzor alav. Okay, so therefore you have to be careful. Machriz Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi Yohanan would announce, Izaharu mizibube shel ba'ale ra'atan. As she says, zibubin ashuchnim alav. These flies that fly around this guy with the ba'ale ra'atan, be careful. Kashot lavi oto chol yal ish aher. Keep away from those bugs. Those bugs also can bring the disease on him as well. Rabbi Zerah, lo abayativ bezikeh. Rashi says, "Bimkom shetenashiv ruach achat al shnehem," which means if, let's say, the wind was blowing and there was a guy that had the atan, he wouldn't go in a place where the wind was blowing on both of them, because he didn't want to get the disease from the guy that had the ra'atan. Rabbi Azar lo ayil be'ahone. Okay, he would not go into the same tent that guy who had the ra'atan. Rabbi Amiv, Rabbi Aser, lo avu achle. They would not eat mebe'e from the eggs de'ahi mevoa, which means if, let's say, there was a certain guy who had the atan that lived in the alley,
the complex,
right? So they wouldn't eat from the eggs that came from such an area, because already the guy the atan can affect the eggs. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi mechrach behu ve'asik b'Torah. That she says, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi didn't care. Mechrach behu. What does that mean? That she says nidbak etzlam. He stood right next to them. B'sha'as she'osik b'Torah u'moshivan etzlo. He put them next to him. These guys. U'muftaq hihu she'tagin Torah alav ve'lo yuzak. He said, "Listen, Torah protects us. I'm not worried. I'm studying Torah. The disease will not come." And he said, "Ve'asik b'Torah." Amar ayelet abim ve'yalat hen, which is the Torah brings hen upon a person, it brings charm upon a person. Im hen ma'ale alumdeha, if you tell me the people that study Torah, the Torah puts a certain charm on the person. Agune lo magna, where is it? Is that going to shield them? So obviously, if it's giving a person hen, it's going to protect them also from the diseases. Ki ava shechiv, when the Yehoshua ben Levi, his came his time to leave this world. Amru ne lemalachem mavet. So they told the Malach HaMavet, Zil Avid Le Re'uteh. They told the Malach HaMavet, or he told the Malach HaMavet, or they Shamayim told Malach HaMavet, go do what you have to do, which means go bring Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi and do what he wants. Let's listen to what he asks you. Avid Le Re'uteh. Ta'aseh lo ratzon. Do his will. Azarat Chazir. So the Malach HaMavet comes to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Amar le, avi li duchtai. So Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, do me a favor. Show me my spot. I want to see before you take me. Show me my spot in Gan Eden. I want to see where I'm going. Amar le lehai. So the Malach HaMavet says, okay, fine. Amar le, havdi sakinach. So he says, listen, on the way up, give me a knife. I don't want you to hold your knife. Why? Dilma mivatli burcha. You're going to scare me on the way up. You're taking me up there with the knife in your hand. I don't want to be scared on the way up there. So therefore, give me. I want to hold on to your knife. So the Malach HaMavet gave the weapon to Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Yavani ale, gave it to him. Kimata da'atam. So when they got to Gan Eden, Daile, so he like looked over the fence, he climbed over the fence there, they lifted him up so he could see exactly his spot. Kamahvele. So he showed him Shavar. Over the
Kafetz.
Okay, he jumped, which they lifted him up over the wall like. And they jumped over the wall. Nafal lahu gisa. He fell over to the other side. So now he's in Gan Eden alive. Nakte bekanat gilime. So the Satan held him from his coat. And he's holding on to him that he shouldn't stay there. He's holding on to his coat. Amale bishvu'ata delo atena. He says, listen, I swear I'm not coming out. I'm staying in here. Amar kucha berichu. So now Borei Olam said, "E itshil ashbu'ata nedar." If in his life he ever broke a swear, so then already
we can break his,
take it out.
We take him out, which means that we're not going to take this swear because swear is not important. If he ever nullified his shivua, so then already he has no right to make a swear, and then we bring him out. Ilo lo nedar. But if not, he made a shivua. He always kept his word. So we're going to allow him to keep his word again over here as well. Amaleh, so the Satan now tells the Yeshua, have the sakinai. Okay, can I have my knife back at least? Can I have my weapon? Lo avaka yahivle. He didn't want to give it back to him. He's finished. I'm not giving you back the knife. He doesn't want anybody to die anymore. Finished. He took it. He wants to hold it. Nafkat bat kala. So a bat call came out. The Amra and said, "Le have nihale." Listen, give him his knife back. The mitba'al briyata. Listen, he's not finished his work yet. The people still need him, which means the Satan has his work still cut out. Other people need it, right? And therefore, while the Satan wasn't able to get you, but other people, he has business to take care of. Fine. Machriz Eliyahu Kameso. Eliyahu Navi announced in front of the Yoshua ben Navi, Panu makom lebal nivae, panu makom lebal nivae. Prepare a place for bal nivae, prepare a place for bal nivae. Azal ashkehe l'Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Oh, so Rabbi Yoshua ben Navi, he sees in Gan Eden, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Davay yativ atlat asar chtachtache pizza. Wow. He was sitting on 13
chairs of fine gold.
Okay, fine gold. Thrones, let's say fancy chairs of, we say tachtites, gold, you tell me? Chairs of gold. Okay, pizza gold. Amarle atu barlivae. Are you Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi? Amarle hen. He says, yes. So Rabbi Shimon asks him, Nir'eta keshet biyamecha? Was there ever a rainbow in your time, in your living? Was there a rainbow? Amaleh hen. So he said, yes, there was a rainbow in my time. He says, imken I ata bar livae. So if that's the case, you're not bar livae, which means en ata ra'ui lichruze, which means that that announcement that Eliyahu Navi just made for you, open a place for Bani Va'eh, you don't deserve such a thing. She says, "She'ani shomea shakeshet eno ela od berit shlo yehara ba'olam," which means because the rule is that the rainbow is a sign that God wants to destroy the world. V'im yes sadik gamur bedor en sarichot. If there's a sadik in the generation, the sadik protects the generation. And if there was a rainbow in your time, you don't deserve this item. So the Gemara says, velahi. Really, it wasn't true. De'lo havai midi. There was no rainbow in the Yeshua's Ben Levi's time. He said, "I don't want to brag," and therefore he was humble. And that was Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi's last test to see, even when he was in Gan Eden, to see if he's going to let the Gava get to him. No, he didn't say it. He just said, "Lo nidai." He said, "Nidai keshet," just to be humble in front of Rabbi Yoshua Ben Yochai. Comes again, what says Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa, Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa, Shush Bine Hava. He was Rabbi Yoshua ben Nevi's, I'm sorry, he was friendly with the Malach HaMavet, as she says. Shushbine Ohavo, V'ragil Eso Malach HaMavet. Malach HaMavet would, frequently visit him.
Your acquaintance.
So when came the time for Rabbi Hanina bar Papa to die, Amru Le Malach HaMavet. So they told the Malach HaMavet again, Zir Avid Le Riote. Okay, go do his will. Azal legabe, so he came in front of the rabbi. V'thazele, he appeared. Amar le, he says, listen, shevket latin yom. Give me 30 more days. Ad nehedar talmudai. I need to review, like hazara on the shas, on my learning. The amre, because the people say, ashre mi sheba lekan v'talmudo biyado. Fortune is the person that comes in, he has his Talmud in his hand, which means that he knows his learning. So if I need 30 days to make a Hazara. Good. Shafke, so he left him. The batata tinyumin, after 30 days, Azal t'hazele. So the Malach HaMavet came back to him. Amar le, ahavili duchtai. Same thing, he says, show me my place, where I'm going to be. Amar le, lachai, he says, fine. Amar le, havli sakinach, d'na mev'it li beurcha. So I guess, give me a knife, because you might scare me on the way.
Amarle, so he tells him, Ke havrach ba'it me'ibadli. What, you want to do like Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nevi did? Because the Mahalina we said was friendly with Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nevi. So he said, what, you want to do to me what Rabbi Yehoshua ben Nevi did to me over there? You're going to jump into the Eden alive over there and steal my knife over there? So he says, Amarle, Aiti sefer Torah ve'hazeh mi'ika midi dechativ be delo keyimteh. Which means, go bring a Sefer Torah and see if there's an item in the Sefer Torah that I did not fulfill. So Amar Leh, so he tells him to Satan, Mi ichlechat bebaaleh ratat v'asikat b'Torah. Okay, did you do like in Yeshua that you were so into the learning that you used to attach yourself to the baaleh, you used to attach yourself to the baaleh ratat, and you used to study Torah, and he said the Torah is going to protect him, which means you're right, you kept the whole Torah. But the Yeshua was on a different madriga. He already was able to go study next to these sick people over there, and the Torah protected him. Vafinu ha'achir. And even so, the Gemara says, Kinach nafshe, when would there be, the Hanina bar Papa died, Afsik le'amuda denura bendide le'alma. There was a certain fire that came in front of his kever, that separated between me, Hanina, and everybody else. Hanina and everybody else. The Gemini, and the Gemara says, "The lo mafsik amuda dinura ila lehad bedara or letrim bedara," which means this only happens to one or two people in the generation that the fire comes down. They're not from Madrega. Nobody was able to come close to the coffin. The fire came down and separated between everybody else and the coffin. Karav legaber Rabbi Alexandri. So the Alexandri wanted to come close to the kever. Amar aseh b'shvil kavod hachamim. So he said, let me come close, do it for the sake of the kavod of the hachamim. No ashkah. Then was the fire stayed there. Aseh b'shvil kavod avicha. Do it for the sake of your father's kavod. So he comes along and says, no ashkah. Aseh b'shvil kevod atzmecha. That she says, so we could bury you, so we could take care of you, so we can eulogize you, so we can't get close to the kevod. Estalik, so the fire went away. So you see, Amar Abaye, I'm sorry, so that, well, you see why, how great, I don't know, even though he wasn't able to go to Gan Eden alive, like Moshe ben Nevi, but you see, things happened to him that happened to only one or two people in a generation. So comes again what it says, Amar Abaye, Lapuke miman de lo kiyim, which means like this. As she says, Amud ze, this pillar that came in front of the rabbi, ba leotzi me'alav mi shelo kiyim et kol haTorah kemo shekiyim hu, which is the reason why the rabbis weren't able to get close to it, because this is coming to push away people that did not fulfill the Torah like he did, which means he kept the Torah meticulously, and therefore the fire over there keeps away people that did not keep the Torah as he did. Amal Ravada bar Matna, he says, no, Lapuke mimor, he says, no, the fire is keeping guys like you away from the kever. De lo itle ma'ake le'igre. You didn't build a parapet for your roof. Which is the Torah says you got to build a ma'akeh. Got to build a fence to protect people from falling off the fence. So you have a fence. You didn't, he's worried about guys like you that don't fulfill the mitzvot. Forget about that. I'm not meticulous in every letter. What about people that are blatantly transgressing the Torah? You didn't put a ma'akeh over your fence. Kabbalah says, Velohi. It's not so. Meheva hava. Really, he had a ma'akeh on his roof. However, what happened was a wind came and blew it off. So therefore, for a little while, it wasn't Abaye's fault. Amar of Hanina, in how come we don't have these guys with the parasites in Bevil? Says they eat turnips, v'shotin shechar, and they drink beer. Shel hizmi. Hizmi is a type of that she says kishut, it's like hops that grow in the hizmi by the thorns. Amar b'yohanan mepnema in mitzura'in bebabil. How come there's no people with leprosy in Babel? They shochnim teradin, they eat turnips, v'shotin shecha, they drink beer, v'rochatzin v'meperat, and they bathe in the Euphrates River. Adran alach medir et ishto.